Very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. I'm sure you would have noticed how we are trying to play with the technology. Every church minister at this time has to learn new ways of doing church. This service is concurrently taking place with a Zoom service that will be conducted by our session clerk, Francis. But from now until the Lord's Prayer, we are going to be together with them, so they are joining us via Zoom. We want to welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time, or those who may be doing so after a very long time. In church this morning is my mother-in-law, Ma Justina B. Bong, and my children, whom you know very well, and I'm sure you've not seen them for quite some time. Let us begin our worship this morning by thinking on the words of the psalmist at Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Let us worship God and affirm him, all people that on earth do dwell. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have promised to grant what we ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Teach us to pray earnestly and to praise your name with all the saints and redeemed. Fulfill our prayers, inspire our thoughts to discover what is just and direct our will to do it. We ask for your forgiveness for all that we have done wrong to ourselves, to others, and to your good creation. For the beauty of the earth, desecrated by pollution, extinguished by forest fires, choked by plastic wastes, Christ, our God, forgive us for systemic greed. For the urgency of this hour, ignored by apathy or procrastination, wasted by ineffective decisions and denied by economic interests, Christ, our God and Savior, forgive us for selfish short-term behavior, for the joy of human love, fractured by forced migration, crushed by bereavement, lost to typhoons, floods and starvation. Christ, our God, bring out justice. Forgive us for this climate crisis. We ask all this as we bring our thoughts together in the words our Savior gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now say goodbye to our Zoom worshippers and wish you the best as you continue with your service at your own end, while we continue here with our physical service. God bless you. Our next hymn, now just us, The Lord's My Shepherd, I Will Not Want. Thank you.
The first reading today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 8 to 13. The Amalekites defeated. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with a staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. And the second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word.
Unto God's name be glory and praise. Our next hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonderful things out of your word, and draw us through them to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The story is told of a king who was in his throne room, holding a council with his advisors, noblemen, and high ministers of state. Suddenly, there was a bang and a clatter at the door of the throne room. All eyes turned as the door burst open and a young boy ran into the room. One of the king's royal guardsmen tried to stop the boy. "Hold there, lad," he shouted. "Don't you know you are disturbing the council of the kings, the council of the king?" "He is your king," laughed the boy, "but he is my daddy." And the boy bounced into the open arms of his father, the king. Dear friend, a child of the king always outranks any nobleman, advisor, minister, ambassador, or any dignitary. And that is the position we have with God our Father. That is the access we have to his throne room. And that access is through prayer, even persistent prayer. A good example, of course, of persistent prayer is in the parable of the persistent widow. There are two characters in that parable. The first is the judge. The judge was one of the paid magistrates appointed either by Herod or by the Romans. And such judges were notorious. Unless a plaintiff had influence and money to bribe his way to a verdict, he had no hope of ever getting his case settled. So these judges were said to pervert justice for a dish of meat. Officially, they were referred to as judges of prohibitions or punishments. Popularly, they were called robber judges. The other character is the widow, who was the symbol of all who were poor and defenseless in the land. It was obvious that she, without resource of any kind, had no hope of ever extracting justice from such a judge. But she had one weapon: persistence. Verse 4 of our text. For some time the judge refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me." Now, it is possible that what the judge in the end feared was actual physical violence. The Greek word translated "keep bothering me" is rendered "lest she exhausts me," and can also mean "lest she give me a black eye." It is possible to close a person's eye in two ways, either by sleep or by assault and battery. In either event, in the end, her persistence won the day. The focus in this text is on the judge's description of his own motivation for settling the widow's claim. He asserts that he neither fears God nor respects people, thereby testifying that his unsavoring character has not changed during the course of the parable. When he explains why he relents, however, he utters a description of the effect of the widow's ceaseless complaints on him that most translations of the text do not capture, or rather dilute. And so a more literal translation of the judge's grievance, chapter 18, verse 5, is that the woman is giving me a black eye. Now, like all black eyes, the one the widow's complaints threaten to inflict have a double effect, representing both physical and social distress. That is, the judge complains that the widow's relentless badgering not only causes him physical harm, but also risks publicly embarrassing him. For this reason, he says, perhaps justifying his actions to his wounded sense of self, he says that he listens to the woman, not because he has changed his mind, but simply to shut up this dangerous widow. In this case, dear friends, insolent, obnoxious, even intolerable behavior results in justice. Or does it not? Taken that way, this parable encourages those suffering injustices to continue their complaints and calls for justice, because it sometimes takes extreme, even socially unacceptable behavior to effect change. But how successful is that principle? I can't breathe were the words of George Floyd, that African-American, which he uttered with his hands handcuffed behind his back, while a white police officer kneeled directly on his neck, refusing to move for more than 7 minutes. When the police officer finally removed his knee from George's neck, George's body was unresponsive. He was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. George Floyd's killing last year spurred mass demonstrations for racial injustice in the United States of America and across the Western world, and reignited the question of safety for minority ethnic groups in predominantly white countries. To that effect, Al Jazeera published an article entitled, "We Will Show Up, Protesters Demand Justice for George Floyd." Many protesters expressed anxiety about whether Chauvin would be convicted in Minnesota's first publicly broadcast trial, which was one of the most widely watched police brutality cases in recent history. Arguably, it was because of the pressure and persistence from the protesters, both in the States and elsewhere in the world, that a just verdict concerning the case was pronounced this year. The 12 members of the jury found former police officer Derek Chauvin guilty of the murder of George Floyd. Dear friends, you know what Mahatma Gandhi said of persistence in seeking justice. He was very optimistic. He said, "First, they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they fight you, and then you win. I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me," said the judge concerning the widow in our text. It reminds us of the parable of the friend at midnight. However, it does not liken God to an unjust judge. It contrasts him to such a person. What Jesus meant was this: if in the end an unjust, rapacious judge can be wearied into giving a widow justice, how much more will God, who is a loving father, give his children what they need? You see, it is a how much more argument, a form of argumentation that draws upon existing confidence in a proposition to argue in favor of a second proposition that is held to be implicit and even more certain than the previous one. How much more will God, who is loving, answer our prayers? Elsewhere, and still about prayer, Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Comparatively, we may read our text as follows. If even the most unjust of judges will finally relent to the ceaseless petitions of a defenseless widow, then how much more will God, who is, after all, a good judge, answer your prayers? The focus is on God's goodness and eagerness to bless us, and the text offers believers who may be reluctant to address Almighty God with their petitions both an invitation and encouragement to pray without ceasing, confident of God's desire to respond. Believers, like the widow, should pray and petition without ceasing and not lose heart, confident that God's justice will in time prevail. God, the Bible has persistently insisted, gives special attention to those who are most vulnerable. Therefore, we should persist in our complaints, even to the point of embarrassing the powers that be, in order to induce change. But can I clarify that by suggesting we persist in our complaints, even to the point of embarrassing the powers that be to get justice, I am not at all advocating for violence. As Martin Luther King Jr. once cautioned, through violence you may murder the hater, but you do not kill the hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate. So it goes. Returning violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Am I speaking to people who are not confident in their ability to pray any longer because you believe that God does not answer your prayers? You've got to persist in prayer, in your search for answers to life's deepest needs. Maybe you are discouraged by the injustices of the world, and you wonder whether God is at all moved by your prayers. I tell you, he is. Do not lose heart, but continue to pray. Maybe some are wrangling with principalities and powers, and feeling weary because their prayers seem to be going in vain. Friends, I want to encourage you that your relentless struggles will never be in vain. Our lives on earth and all that we do should be accompanied by ceaseless prayer. Now, I'm arguing from the text that persistent prayer works and works wonders. And we learn from the parable that if we persist in prayer, whatever we ask, God will give it to us. Is it really so? You would agree with me that sometimes parents refuse the request of a child because they know that what the child asks would hurt rather than help. God is like that. We do not know what is to happen in the next hour, let alone the next week or month or even year. Only God sees time whole. And therefore, only God knows what is good for us in the long run. That is why Jesus Christ said we must never be discouraged in prayer. That is why he wondered if our faith would stand the long delays before the Son of Man returns in glory. And that is why he wonders still whether our faith will stand this long delay for the end of a deadly pandemic. Friend, we will never grow weary in prayer, and our faith will never falter if, after we have offered to God our prayers and requests, we add the perfect prayer, "Thy will be done." God knows everything about our situation and far better than we can ever fathom. He knows the answer that will be best for us. Prayer is meant in part to remind us of how dependent on God we truly are. But prayer is not just for our benefit. God enjoys hearing us pray. When we come to Him in faith and make our petitions before His throne of grace, His heart rejoices. Let us never stay away for long without going to Him in prayer. And let us continue to pray that wonderful prayer, Lord, Thy will be done. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much because You have spoken to us through the message of Your holy word and reminded us that we must keep asking, keep seeking, so that You may open the door for us and so that You may answer us when we pray. We confess for time so, Father, when we have not been persistent in our prayer, and ask, O God, that You will give us the spirit of commitment to do so and to do so even more. But let Your will be done. Amen. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you became poor for our sake, that through your poverty we might be made rich. You have blessed us abundantly indeed in heavenly things. We return but little to you in material things. All that we are and have is yours. Regard not the smallness of our offering, but in your grace accept it as a sign of our love and thankfulness. God of abundant life, we see your goodness all around us, and we thank you for every part of it, from the plants and animals which play their part in complex ecosystems, to the dry deserts and stormy seas which test the limits of life. We pray that in this time of climate crisis and ecological emergency, you may help us to rediscover your love of creation and to reflect that in our own lives. God, who speaks through unexpected people, we thank you for contemporary prophets who are challenging us to act on climate change, for indigenous people and their invaluable knowledge of the land and sea where they live, for scientists dedicating their careers to warning us about changes to the planet, and for young people striking for their future. We pray that you will help those in power to hear their prophetic voices. Help them to see beyond short-term political priorities and business plans. Give them wisdom and courage when they face difficult decisions. God of second chances, we recognize the damage we have done to the earth and the injustice we see in society every day, fueled by worship of profit and possessions. We pray for the coming of a better world with justice, kindness, and humility at its heart. We ask that you guide us to be co-creators of this new world. Give us confidence to follow the prophetic voices, to stand against injustice to people and to planet, so that together in your strength we stop this climate crisis. Great God, who makes the sun to rise and opens the heavens, hear the cry of the people who sow in hope for rain but reap only despair. Hear the cry of the people seeking shelter from the storm, their hopes and homes submerged. Hear the cry of the people when creation is hitting back with rage and resistance. Give us hope. Grant us salvation. Give us a new relationship with creation, with reverence to turn this gift from you and say once again of the earth and all you created, it is good. Father, we pray now for our spiritual leaders, for pastors, lay elders, and all those who lead in various departments of the church. May they perform their task faithfully day by day and prepare your people to be seekers of goodness. We pray for all faithful members of the church. May they fight the good fight of faith, and in finishing their life, may they receive the promised reward in your kingdom. We pray for the poor and the afflicted, for all in fear, trouble of mind, and persecution, that you may help and comfort them. We bring our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you are able, please rise, and if you want, you may say that with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, When We Walk With the Lord. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.